Hey, this is Eric.
I'm Chris.
I'm Gee.
From Disciples of Babylon, and you're listening to the Mosh Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
I just want to wear dark clothes so everyone knows that I'm sad. I guess that's the way it goes when you don't look after what you have. I just want to show you that it isn't really that bad. That bad.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your host Wes Everett with his awesome co-host Miss Haley, and we are here with Eric and Chris of Disciples of Babylon. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's kind of rough, you know, being in a pandemic and then having the election going on. Two very crazy events happening at the same time.
I know. 2020 has been a one for the ages.
Oh yeah, for sure. How have you guys been doing though? What's been keeping you busy during this time?
Well, we've been, you know, obviously working on new music in the meantime, remotely, you know, social distancing and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, we've made a lot of progress on some new songs. We just released our new single Liberty, which is, you know, getting a lot of great reception and we're really excited about it. And we released a new lyric video. A music video would have been nice, but, you know, with all the, you know, with the virus going on, it just didn't seem like a great idea to be trying to coordinate that at the moment. So maybe in the future, but we have a lyric video up that turned out amazing. We're really happy with it for this new single of ours. So
nice.
That's kind of what we've been doing, trying to stay productive.
Yeah, congrats. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, congrats on that, guys. With this new song, Liberty, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's obviously about everything that's happening right now and the craziness that we're currently in. And, it's kind of, I don't know if it's a, I don't want to say it's a protest song, but it's a song to kind of get everybody's attention about what's happening right now. I mean, we always try to have a silver lining in our music. So we want to obviously, ultimately, the message that we want to give is a positive one. But, we're trying to be like the mirror is the best way I can, think about it is like, we present these songs and with any musician or any band, they're presenting these songs and people interpret them in their own ways. And so, our idea is to put the thought and the, the premise out there. And, ultimately what we want to do with Liberty and the whole thought behind it is to grab everybody's attention, but, to ultimately bring people together and to stop the division that's happening currently in our country that's just, obviously tearing us apart. So, so that was the whole idea and premise behind, Liberty.
Very cool. Yeah, that's one thing we need right now is everybody together and kind of on the same page.
Exactly. I mean, as much as we can be, obviously you've got opposing opinions on both sides. And so I think what has to happen is, we both first have to start listening to each other on both sides and listening to what, the other person's, issues are. And then try to come to some happy medium. I guess that's the kind of tricky part, you're not gonna please everybody. It's just impossible. It's humanly impossible to do that. But if you can get most people back on board, I think you have something, and to get it back to, the United States and not the divided states,
Yeah, absolutely. With this new album, are we gonna see more songs like this or what's the plan?
Well, I think the idea is there's going to be a new record eventually coming out. I couldn't tell you when because we're kind of trying to navigate everything around this virus. And, even with live shows and performances, even though there's a lot of these music festivals and people that are making announcements about, we're going to be back in 2021. I hate to tell everybody, I don't think that that's going to happen realistically. Particularly in the time that we're at now, where we're going into the second so-called, wave of the virus. So I don't see 2021 really happening. I know that they're doing drive-in shows and all that kind of stuff, but I just don't really, I've talked to a bunch of agents and I've listened to interviews with a lot of the big agents in the industry, and they're all kind of hinting to that. I hope that I'm completely wrong in what I'm saying. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about it, but that's kind of the initial thing. But our idea is to continue to put out singles out for the next, 6 to 8 months, putting out periodic singles, maybe every couple, 2 or 3 months, and then eventually lead us down to the next record. And like Chris mentioned earlier, we're working on a new song now, and we have we have tons of material. So it's just been an adjustment period for us, at least for me, it was an adjustment period to work in this way because we're so used to being in a studio and recording and we're all in the same room together. So this was a different process. So I know for me, it was a little bit of a kind of culture shock, but now that I've gotten used to it, now I know that we can, do this. And Chris can, obviously talk about that more because he produced the song. So.
Yeah. it's gonna be a fun process. It's a different approach for us, really. When I joined the band, the focus has always been kind of doing it in, recording and writing music in a very organic way where everyone's in the same room. which is, you know, can be very efficient. I think recording in particular, things have gotten very efficient doing things separately, I think. I mean, writing music is always easier to do in the same room, but recording nowadays, it's, you can just do it on your own time, you know, and send your takes to the band and compile, you know, just add your takes on top of it and, you know, end up with something great really quick. So, yeah, it's been nice. You know, I think we all kind of miss being in the studio, though, because the studio, I mean, things just sound better in the studio, number one, different than recording a song in your bedroom. But, you know, we reached out to our friends and people that we know to help us, you know, deliver and get great sounds, you know, in their home studios and stuff. So it really turned out great with Liberty. And, you know, I think we'll probably use some of the same, you know, use some of the same resources for our future singles. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, it's so crazy how much we've all had to adapt to the situation we're all faced with. But I think that it's kind of like a good thing at the same time, because we're learning these really unique ways to do the job we've been doing for a long time. So it can be a double-edged sword, you know? But I mean, I'm happy for you guys that the Liberty track went well. I recognize that it was probably a little bit different putting it together this time around versus previous projects for you guys. But hopefully this pandemic lifts and things become a lot less crazy and we can all get together and make music the way we used to. But here's a fun one for you guys. What was that aha moment that made you realize that you wanted to do this from the get-go?
Like music?
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, for me, you know, when I graduated high school, actually, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I mean, I had been playing music since I was like middle school, you know, playing in bands in high school and whatnot. But I actually was gonna become a civil engineer back then. So I went University of Illinois for a semester for civil engineering, and I just couldn't, you know, when you're in a dorm room, you know, I didn't have access to drums or any sort of music equipment when I was there, and it was like 6 months of torture, you know.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go do something else. Like, I can't do this. And so I ended up just dropping out and flying out to LA the next year and going to music school. And that was that for me. I think it was kind of seeing what else was out there for a little bit. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know about Eric, but that's kind of where I started.
Yeah. For me, it was, my God, I've been doing music since I've been six years old. You know, I started out doing performances and, literally like elementary school, where I would do plays and, you know, act in certain things. So I kind of had that natural bug for performance from a very early age. And then, you know, I started probably doing the band thing probably when I was like, you know, literally like 12, 13 years old, where somebody asked me, hey, do you want to, you know, start a band? And I'm like, yeah. And that's kind of how that whole thing started. And I started teaching myself how to, you know, play guitar and learn instruments, playing drums. And then, you know, going through junior high and high school, I played in the bands for the schools. You know, I played drums, played tenor saxophone for a couple of years, and then played in the marching band doing drums. And, you know, so I kind of evolved that way. And something from a very early age that I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And kind of like Chris, I was very into sports. And so, believe it or not, I wanted to be like a professional football player because I'm a huge sports fan. And but, you know, when I realized the you know, the stuff that, you know, obviously that, you know, athletes go through and the injuries and all that kind of stuff. And I played, you know, football through junior and varsity and in high school. And when I realized the reality of that and just going, man, I just don't know if I can put my body through that. And just seeing all the horror stories of, you know, a lot of these athletes and, you know, boxers and stuff like that, that come out of their careers and just they're completely messed up for the rest of their lives. So I thought that the rock and roll thing would be a little bit safer. So so that's, you know, kind of what happened. And, you know, I just never looked back and just, you know, being in bands. And then, you know, like Chris, I packed up. I'm originally from Florida, from Miami. And I ended up, you know, coming to Los Angeles, which is something that I always knew that I was going to do. And I had been coming here since I was very young. And, you know, I just always fell in love with it. And of course, just being one of the music meccas of the world, I thought this is the perfect place for me to be. So, you know, I ended up coming here and I went to music school as well too. Actually, me, Ramon and Guy all went to the same music school, the Musicians Institute, MI in Hollywood. And so, and that's kind of how the whole thing started with us, you know, meeting and putting the whole thing together.
That's awesome. That's crazy. I'm so glad that you guys were able to find each other and create this band together. That's awesome how it all started for you guys.
So
Are they one of your influences?
You know, we all listen to different things. I mean, I know me, Guy, and Ramon, our influences, and Chris will tell you his. But I mean, you know, there's some unique things that we all like together. But I know that for myself, Guy, and Ramon, you know, we were rooted in like metal growing up. You know, Guy comes from Brazil, which is obviously like holy crap with metal. I mean, you know, that's like one of the biggest places in the world that worship the genre. And then, you know, Ramon comes from Spain, which is another huge metal, you know, centric area of the world. And, you know, me and Chris were born here in the States, but, you know, I grew up with the whole metal thing, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, all that kind of stuff, you know, and Pantera. And, you know, so we do have that in our roots. I wouldn't consider us a metal band at all. I think we're like more of a rock with an edge, alternative-ish kind of, you know, with even, you know, believe it or not, like pop elements to it, because we do approach our music with like, you know, in a pop kind of sensibility. And Chris, you like, I know you've got backgrounds like metalcore and stuff like that, but I mean, you can say your influences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, AC/DC is definitely not one of mine, but, you know, I think a lot of, you know, no matter what you listen to, you're going to get influence of other bands from the influences of that they had. I think it's all kind of like a tree.
Yeah.
But I never really listened to AC/DC particularly myself. I kind of grew up in the listening to kind of the 2000s music, you know, like a lot of the emo, screamo,
Thrice,
yeah, post hardcore, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what they call it anymore. That kind of stuff. Yeah. And I still, that's still my kind of go to. I do actually enjoy listening to a lot of the electronic, you know, I guess pop music that's coming out these days. I think it's cool. It's just as a producer, it's fun to hear what people are doing and what's current. And so I think that has an influence in how I approach music, because I do like to stay on top of what people are kind of digging right now. But at the end of the day, I think there's always going to be kind of a lean towards some of that kind of 2000s, maybe like 2011 onwards, like emo, screamo, kind of, you know, even alternative rock stuff. And then when the guys are talking about their influences and bands that they listen to, I really have no idea what they're talking about most of the time. So
yeah, I mean, but we love AC/DC. I mean, Chris didn't grow up, but I mean, but we love AC/DC. So don't get us wrong. But I mean, we do have mutual things. We love Muse. All of us, I think, can all say we love Muse. Oh. Foo Fighters. So you know, there are those general influences that we do have all together that we can say, yeah, we really like that. But you know, like Chris says, you know, like I told you at the beginning, we all had that root in metal, but of course we listened to everything. I mean, I grew up in a house that was playing jazz, R&B, gospel. I mean, I grew up listening to everything. So for me, you know, and I think also for Guy and Chris too, they had a very diverse kind of upbringing with music too. And I think that's what's helped our sound to not try to be or sound like anybody else. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you love your influences, but you don't want to wear them so much on your sleeve that you sound just like a carbon copy of like, oh, yeah, now I know why you guys sound exactly like that band. So, you know, I think due to the fact that we have such a diversity in our influences and sounds and all that kind of stuff, I think that contributes to us having a very unique sound.
Well, I'll back up a little bit. How do you feel about the new music that you guys have just released with Liberty?
Tough question, man. Dang. Just got here.
That's what you get for being late, man. Hit you with the hard stuff.
I love it. Dude, I don't know. How much more current can a song be? You know, we're seeing this whole election nightmare. And I don't know. It's insane how people just listen what they want, the way they want it. And now they're on the streets, stop the counting, keep counting. It's like, come on, man. Every state has their laws and they're doing everything by the book. As far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen anything different. So it seems like whatever we see on social media becomes like your truth. And then people are, you know, they're binded to that thing and they're not free. They need their freedom. They need to be free.
So would you say that they just need to separate themselves from social media?
I don't know. I think social media shouldn't be your main source of information.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
I don't understand how we got to this point where even before social media, you had regular media, you know, newspapers, magazines, TV, and even those, you couldn't trust them 100% from, you know, from the get-go, I guess. You know, at least you shouldn't, because right. Some information, sometimes they get it wrong. We're humans. We make mistakes. And I don't know. Everything should be taken with a grain of salt in that regard. It's just like at the very beginning of the pandemic, I was talking with my wife about this. Actually, Ramon came to me and he asked me at the beginning of the pandemic when they first stated like, nah, you don't need masks. Just don't be close to people. And then later on, the CDC told us like, no, you know what? From what we found out in this period of time that we've been analyzing this whole virus thing, actually, we need masks. Masks should be mandatory. And then one day Ramon asked me like, so in the beginning, you were not that anal about wearing a mask. Now you wear masks from, you know, leaving your apartment, going to do laundry next door and coming back. And I'm like, yeah, because that's how science works. You get new information, you adapt to it, and you behave based on the newest, most current information. And that's how people should take every information that gets to them, either through social media or just regular media.
Right. Yeah.
That whole trust but verify.
Exactly. Know your sources and maybe talk to people who are specialists in the in these areas. Like I've seen, I don't know, people on YouTube, the like videos from, I don't know, NPR, CNN, they ask people that know the laws from each state, like lawyers and whatnot, about all the current developments of the whole election county. And they're like, yeah, no, this is regular, this is normal, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, don't freak out for no reason.
Freaking out.
Right? Jeez.
Right. So Guy, you know, Wes and I talked to Eric and Chris a little bit about, you know, putting music together and keeping busy during this whole pandemic. But what has it been like for you working on, you know, music together with the guys, or even like working on the track Liberty during this time?
Mm-hmm. It's been interesting. And I feel like we're incredibly lucky to be this advanced, technologically speaking, during a pandemic, because I cannot imagine something like this happening 20 years ago, where we barely had, what was it? Orkut? It wasn't a thing. It was pre that. So, to be able to share music, the everything that the current technology allows us to do, I think we're very lucky to have access to that, to still write songs together, to record remotely, stay together, but from afar type of deal. And yeah. It's an adaptation. I mean, sorry. We had to adapt a little bit, you know, from our regular in person songwriting sessions and rehearsals and recordings, and try to find that interaction, that interactive element that translates, as I believe we musicians call it, chemistry, when we play together, when we are together, and we have to just try and adapt and do our best to try and achieve that, even though we are not together in person.
Right.
Guy actually helped me out a lot working on the song, like doing some editing and whatnot, which was cool.
Stop it. So keep it coming.
Really super helpful, because it was a lot of work. I mean, just a lot of audio tracks, a lot of audio files. And yeah, so he did a great job. It was part of his, I mean, he's been learning how to do, you know, some mixing and editing stuff for a while.
I have a good teacher.
Yeah. Oh, and I was just like, give him some, at least show him how I do things, so he could do it the way I wanted him to do it for the song. But
yeah, I'm still trying to convince Chris to make. He sent me some videos of himself, like he was recording his desktop of his computer with audio, and he was just showing me how he edit stuff, like guitars and everything, nudge stuff here and there, how he cuts things and splits things and bring them together and make pocket happen, you know, like regular grade A studios would edit your track. And I'm still trying to convince him to turn that into, I don't know, a course, an online course that he could do. I'm sure you could record 5 of those that you sent me and just turn that into a course and make money off of it, because I would pay to get that information. It's so clear the way you speak and you translate the knowledge. I think
that'll,
you're a good
educator. That'll be $100. That'll be $100.
You accept Venmo?
Yeah, I think that this was a real, to add to what Chris and Guy were talking about, what I really loved about this in the weirdest way, and obviously not to discount the, you know, the disparity that everybody's dealing with COVID and the people that are dying from this. I mean, it's obviously a horrible thing, but, you know, we try to look for the positive things, even in the darkest moments. And I think for myself, I can say that this is probably one of the best interesting times, that because this is such a team effort on every level with this song, because of the fact that, like how Guy and Chris were explaining, and, you know, we were talking about earlier, that it was just a new process that I wasn't used to. And I don't think really a lot of us were in this particular band used to working like this. So, yeah, it forced us to adapt, but it also forced us more than ever to work as a team, which was one of the big things that, you know, that I think that we had talked about many times. And so I was really happy, and everybody that helped us on this. I mean, we had Joe Bozy, which is like one of the top mastering engineers in the world, who did like the last Van Halen record, Imagine Dragons, and U2. He was involved in the mastering of this record. And, you know, we had Guy, your friend Rupp, and we had Alan Souza, which engineered this project. So it was a real group effort between everybody. But what I was really most pleased with was that all of us, the four of us, it really forced us to kind of, not that we weren't working together before, but it forced us to really get closer together and to work, even though we weren't necessarily close together, because we had to be kind of separate, you know. So it was just very interesting.
Right. That's awesome, though, that it kind of like made you adapt in that way. And now I assume it is probably somewhat easy to continue to do it that way, just because you've learned how to do it during this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think now that we've got kind of like a template going, I mean, the only thing we can do now is improve on the process. And so, you know, I'm actually looking forward to these next songs that we're starting to work on now, and, you know, getting this done. It's exciting, you know.
Hi. It's AK here from Finite Femme, and you're rocking the Mosh Pit Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What would you say you've got as your three goals for the coming year Well, let's say 2021, 2022.
I would probably say for me, and you know, the guys will say their thing. I think the overall goals for us is to keep writing music, which we've got a ton of material that we're gonna be like we mentioned earlier that we're gonna be putting out and recording those. And I think the ultimate goal is like what we were saying earlier, we're gonna be releasing singles every few months, and then eventually that's gonna lead us down to the next full release. Now, I couldn't tell you when that's going to happen. You know, the first target is probably this time next year where we would have something like that. But it's all really dependent on the virus and where we're at with the virus, because I don't want to put out a full record and we can't go out and support it. You know, there's a lot of bands that unfortunately, because of their timing, and it was nobody's fault, they had a record that was already done and their record companies were forcing them to put out the records and they had to do it. So, you know, we're kind of more open since we're independent that we can kind of, you know, we have more of leeway to decide when to put this out. So, you know, I think those are the ultimate goals, I think, for the next, you know, year and a half, and then, you know, put out more videos and hopefully once this thing is ready to go, we're going to come out, you know, obviously with guns blazing, and you know, and just, you know, start being able to perform and tour again.
Very cool. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. You mentioned these singles. Do you think that's the evolution of music where we are now? It started with vinyls and albums, and then it went to EPs, and now just singles every couple of months? Because I know a few bands that are doing that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything is secular in the music industry, so this is something that's not new. Back in the 50s and 60s, like, you know, the Beatles and the Who and all these bands back in those times, it was a singles-driven market. So, you know, you had bands that would put out a 45, and you had an A-side and a B-side, and then eventually records started to develop, I think, during the time of the Beatles, you know, because they became so huge. And all of their songs became so, you know, popular that they started putting out more long form content, which were the LPs and the vinyl LPs. So this is nothing new that we're in now. I think we're just back to that time period now, only now we have digital distribution now as opposed to putting out physical product. And that's kind of, you know, where I think we're at. Dee, what do you think? And Chris?
I kind of think that, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that we're in a singles market now. I mean, you think about how short people's attention span is. It's kind of like you got to just continuously, I mean, it's social media. Like, you have to post something every day, right? I mean, that's like the rule of thumb, just to keep people, you know, keep yourself in their mind, right? So it's the same thing with music. I think it's as frequently as you can be releasing some new form of content, you know, the more you're in people's minds and are relevant to their life. So I think that's, like, from a marketing standpoint, that's the goal, is to just, you know, it's a lot more work to release an entire album conceptually than it is to just release a song. So I think, I mean, I can see it definitely just becoming a thing to just release a single, release another one. And then when you got enough to put on a record, you just slap a sticker on it and call it a record and then just keep doing it, you know? Yeah, and I do find, especially with these streaming services like Spotify, that people are listening to one, maybe two songs from an artist, but are really listening to a mix of artists.
Like, I was gonna get there. Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, at least that's playlists. What I, and the people I know that are listening to Spotify are just putting on like a mood playlist, or like,
yeah,
like a vibe that they're going for. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't really need a whole record to end up on one of those lists. And
yeah, that I think playlists are like the social media of music,
right?
Because you're not gonna compile a bunch of songs from the same artist. You need that vibe. You need that feel. So it needs to be a variety of artists to create that whole vibe. And yeah, definitely singles is the way to go.
Yeah. Although with our style of music, with rock and hard rock, metal and stuff, obviously albums and physical product. I mean, we still have physical product that we've released, yeah. obviously, and eventually we will release that. But, you know, for now, this is kind of what we're doing. But, you know, I still personally love the idea of a conceptual piece and putting that out. And luckily, we're still in a genre of music that people still appreciate that. But Chris and Guy are absolutely correct. We are in an access model now where people, they have the attention span of a gnat. So, like, literally, you have to be feeding them content constantly, and you have to feed that animal all the time, every day. And that's why we're so aggressive with what we do online. And, you know, there's a balance, too. You know, you can't go overkill with things. So there's a fine balance that you have to kind of draw, and each platform is different. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting time that we're in. It's exciting to me because, you know, I think with these songs that we're going to be putting out, we can put all our attention and focus around this song. Like now with Liberty, we're putting our entire being into this song, giving it the love that we think it deserves. And that's why we've been conducting all these interviews and getting the word out. And, you know, obviously it's time sensitive because of everything that's happening now. So it wasn't done unintentional. This was done purposely. I mean, we decided to put this out right before the election. I mean, it was all premeditated. So, you know, we're kind of in that cycle now. And, you know, look at this election, how it's stretching out. So it's stretching this whole thing out for us really well.
Looking for PR to help promote your music? At Deviate PR, we help bands and artists of the alternative and heavier genres get heard. Find out more at deviatepr.co.uk and let's deviate from the norm. You're listening to the Mosh Pit Podcast.
Right. I mean, especially with Liberty, it's so time sensitive, as you guys have discussed. But I mean, I can only imagine what the future will bring for more, you know, more music like that. Because I think that, you know, politically, music is driven pretty strong. And I mean, if you look at the state of our government, music is probably about to get a lot more angsty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, music has been part of the culture for so many years. You go back to the 50s and 60s and 70s, like when Vietnam was happening, and you had artists like Marvin Gaye that were, you know, with What's Going On, and that was a protest song against, you know, the soldiers and why Vietnam was happening. And, you know, so you look, you know, Bob Dylan, another, you know, famous.
I was gonna mention his name, dude. Where's the most current Bob Dylan of our generation? Like, where the heck is this guy?
Exactly. So, you know, and it's ironic.
Or because, girl, you don't know.
And it's actually ironic because we talk about the whole political, and I wouldn't categorize this as a political band at all. I think we're just more of like presenting these ideas and messages. But, you know, obviously we are influenced by that. And, you know, some of the material, I mean, at least some of the stuff that I've been, you know, writing lyrically and stuff like that is going more in that area. But, you know, you look at today, as a matter of fact, today, as of the day of this recording, my God, these guys, System of a Down just released two new songs today that came out that were politically driven, that of what's happening in Armenia. You know, they're an Armenian band, and there's been this whole thing that's been going on with the genocide over there in Armenia and all the stuff that's been happening with, you know, the old Soviet Union and everything. And so that was like the first new material that they had released in, I think, 15 years. And it's very politically charged and everything. And so I agree with you, Haley, that you're going to be seeing a lot more of that because it's a reflection of the time that we're living in right now, you know?
Absolutely. So would you guys say that during this whole pandemic, lockdown time, would you say that you discovered a new artist or band for yourself that you didn't or wouldn't have paid attention to before the pandemic?
I've got a bunch of them, but I'll wait for them to say theirs first, unless you guys want me to go first.
Go ahead.
By all means.
Okay. Well, I've discovered actually a few new, I mean, some that have been around for a little bit or whatever, but I'm really digging Spirit Box. Do you guys know about Spirit Box?
Yes.
They're those, so good.
I don't.
Those guys are like devastating to me. They are just amazing. I'm so blown away with them. I love them a lot. I love Steve Lacy, which is like an art. He's like the new Prince. of like this generation now. He's an amazing like multi-instrumentalist. I really love. He's got a record out now called Apollo. I think it's 21, and he's just freaking amazing. I'm trying to think of who else. Of course, I love Ginger. That's another band that I'm really all these female like just like incredible voices. But Spirit Box to me is like unbelievable. I think they're going to become very big. They just, the songs are incredibly written, and you know, there's a way to do things that I think, you know, obviously any band could come in there and scream and do the and do, but I mean, she does it so well, like Ginger does. They do it so well, and the songs are so well written. Chris, I'm going to send you the single. You're gonna be blown away because the songwriting is like incredible, and the melody and everything. I mean, you guys have heard it, so I don't have to tell these guys. But anyway, those are a couple of bands that I'm really digging.
Nice. I don't really have anything. I'll be honest with you. I haven't been listening to a ton of music lately, but that's just me. Kind of when I do listen to music, I'm listening to stuff that I know and like at the moment.
Yeah. You go back to comfort.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you know another one that I wanted to say too? Arrow, which is Ozzy Osbourne's daughter. I don't know if you guys have listened to her. It's called ARO, which stands for Amy, I think, Rachel Osbourne. It's literally Ozzy Osbourne's oldest daughter.
Oh, no way.
She it's called Arrow. If you guys haven't heard that, check it out. I mean, she is freaking amazing too. It's not what you would think, and very cool stuff. So I really, really love I'm digging her stuff as well too. So I've been in a phase where I've been listening to a lot of new music lately. So
you've been holding out on us, man. That's
yeah.
Ever heard of Sherry much? Okay. But cool. I gotta say, I'm a mix of what both Chris and Eric said. I've been going back to stuff that comforts me, especially things that I don't know, bands that introduced me to rock and every possible subgenre that I used to listen to when I was a teenager. I'm catching myself going back to The Offspring, Green Day, The Wallflowers, and at the same time discovering the mainstream music, interestingly enough. I never really paid attention to what's really on the radio. I don't listen to the radio, let me start there. But from a bass player perspective, for example, the new Dua Lipa album, Future Nostalgia.
Oh, man, yeah, I've heard that track. Yeah, it's a cool track.
I dare to say I didn't do my research, but it's all bass. It must have been produced by a bass player or written by a bass player. A bass player was involved in the process 100%. Because everything kind of like plays around the bass line. Every single song has a killer bass line, and everything is so groovy and funky. There's touches of soul music and a little bit of R&B besides, you know, the funk. It's really incredible. So I've been listening to that as well. And my latest obsession is a band called the Intersphere. And I believe they are from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I am obsessed with the bass player's name is Daniel Weber. And his tone is just incredible. I've been listening to a lot of their stuff, and he is a gear maniac.
Nice.
He utilizes stuff that we all think it's just meant for guitar players to play with. So he grabs like stomp boxes from all sorts and he puts them together, EQs a whole bunch of stuff, splits his signal, and he does a lot of stuff that in the end result is really cool. And I'm in love with his bass tone and his playing.
I know for myself personally, I've discovered a lot of new music, but I've also, similar to Guy, like I've gone back to a lot of like my core, favorites, that even got me into music. So, I mean, it's been a fun experience overall. But we have one last question for you guys. And that is, what is the craziest thing you have done in the name of music?
Oh, I have a good one.
Go ahead, you go first, because I don't know if I can think of one.
All right. The craziest thing I've ever done for music, I quit my dentistry career back in Brazil, in São Paulo. 1 year after I graduated as a dentist and an oral surgeon, I decided to come to the U.S., attend Musicians Institute, and while doing so, realized I could actually, you know, survive as a bass player. And that was it. I left everything behind, and I haven't left Los Angeles ever since.
Wow. Then you got married.
And then I got married to
just kidding.
My ex-colleague back at in dental school. She's still pursuing her career here. But yeah, I'm 100% dedicated to bass now. Is that crazy enough for you guys?
Yeah, I was going to say just, you know, shipping out when I was pretty young to L.A., you know, didn't really know anyone out there. That's probably one of the craziest things. That I can't think of anything else that's crazy. I don't know.
You're actually going to use me as an example, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't think of anything myself because I feel like I've been doing crazy things ever since I was, you know, 6 years old, starting my life in music. So every day has been crazy for me, I guess. But there hasn't been one thing to stand out. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's my story.
I think we all make decisions that are, you know, we make sacrifices for sure so that we can continue to do music. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure, a lot of those sacrifices might sound crazy to a lot of people. So, like, living in a tiny studio apartment or something crazy. Like, I don't know.
Right. I mean, I was talking to another band the other day, and they were saying how, you know, it might not seem overly, like, crazy to musicians, you know, themselves to, I guess, pack up and leave or, you know, cut ties with family to go on touring and stuff like that. But he's like, to the normal person, that's going to sound completely crazy. But to musicians who are dedicated to this, this is just normal life. So yeah, it's crazy. I mean, to me, saying that you would pack up and leave to a different state or country to pursue music, that's me. I would do that in a heartbeat. So to the average person, it might be pretty crazy, but to me, it's like, oh, that's awesome. And I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I guess because it's stigmatized because, you know, it's the typical thing like, oh, you're going to go to be a musician or an actor. I mean, it's always right. Kind of lumped in with those same kind of cliche things, but it's a tough business like any other industry. Everybody who thinks that this business, I mean, this is one of the most complex, hardest businesses like any other industry to get into. Yep. We just happen to be on the creative side of things, but yeah, I mean, this is a tough thing. So I guess for a lot of people, and you know, and really there's a certain sense of craziness that you have to have inside of you, because this, I mean, if you're doing this for the money, you're in it for the wrong reason, you know. So right. Because the mud, because there is, you know, I mean, for the few, you can make, like, to become a huge, huge success. I mean, you know, it's incredibly rare, but there's obviously a deep love and passion that each one of us has. And, you know, anybody who's in the arts can relate to that, like what you were referring to earlier. It's just something that's in your blood and you cannot get it out of your system. And, you know, you just have to express yourself. So whatever that takes.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a dedication for sure.
Absolutely. I have actually a good... another story, I guess, but it doesn't involve me as a musician. It involves me as a fan of music and a pretty crazy thing that I did for my artist that I wanted to see, if that counts.
In the name of music.
Yes, I kind of did it in the name of music because I wanted to see the artist. So, briefly, NAMM. 2000, I want to say 17, and Snarky Puppy was playing for at this event that Mark Bass was putting together, They had Snarky Puppy, and they had someone else that I wanted to see, Marigold. I don't know if you guys know this song, Greg Howie's band, guitar player. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, it was, I'm really into Marigold. If you never heard their album, it's incredible. But, and Snarky Puppy, of course, Michael Leigh's big band. But you had to RSVP, you know, a month before the event to be able to attend. And of course, we didn't know. We just showed up and they're like, oh, you can't come in. What we ended up doing, we went through the back of the little area they were doing the whole performances at the Marriott, right in front of the Anaheim Convention Center. And somehow we got inside while they were doing sound checks and line checks and whatnot. So bottom line, we had to sit in the corner without pretty much making eye contact, so nobody would come check on us if we had the passes or the RSVPs, for 5 hours before the show, the concert actually started. And you can imagine that by then, everybody was like, you know, man, I kind of got to go to the bathroom. Like, I really got to go to the bathroom right now. And we're like, no, man, let's not move. Let's not do anything suspicious. So it was pretty intense, I got to say.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But it was so worth it. Marigold was incredible. And Snarky Puppy, I mean, Jesus, man, that band. Michael Leigh is amazing. And yeah, eventually they came to us and like, oh, we didn't give you a wristband when you first came in. Oh, our bad. And we were like, sure, we forgive you. So we were able to just come and go after a couple of bands.
Worth it.
So worth it.
Guys, that's awesome, man. I want to thank y'all for sitting in and hanging out with us.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely.
This has been fun.
Yeah, and don't be late next time, Eric. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Sorry, Geek. I'll make sure that never happens. We'll be right back. Thank you.